It's Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest, brought to you by Mecca Restoration, Babineau Family Dental, Harris Heating and Cooling, Action Specialties, LA Classic Roofing, Schwing Insurance, Cane Row Golf and Turf Club, Hike, Mindale, Grubbs, and Dalbar, Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation, Arsenal Ford, The Quarter Tavern, and Gator Gear Customs. And now, here's Coach Indest.
Good morning. Welcome on this beautiful Monday morning, which is looking like it could be a really beautiful week. Looking forward to that. Nice, cool temperatures. Well, let's dive right in because we know on Mondays we just have a plethora of football to talk about.
Is that a lot?
So, let's talk real fast to remind everybody. Quarter Tavern this weekend. I'm not going to get all into it. We'll get more at the end of the show. But this weekend, Okay. Look, they canceled the Sugar Cane Festival, but we got a festival going on at the Quarter Tavern this weekend. So just be ready.
This is correct.
We will have the festival at one location. So get to the Quarter Tavern this weekend. It will be a festival starting on Thursday, not on Friday, on Thursday.
That's right.
All right. So got to start out with the worst, you know. The Saints, man. Oh, God.
From Super Bowl to Toilet Bowl.
Oh. And I think that it was put best in the amongst the many articles and hypotheses and all the different things that went on after the game that the Saints are somewhere between the great team that we saw against Green Bay, and the horrific team that we saw against the Panthers. But the problem is there's such a huge space between the two. Where do they fall? They're somewhere in between there. They're not that good, and they're not that bad.
Don't you improve from the first week to the second week?
Well, Sean Payton refused to blame the coach, the eight coach situation, the 10. Because when you throw in Lutz and you throw them all, the 10-player situation, which is pretty unheard of what they dealt with, you throw in the whole Ida, still not at home. So he refused to blame that. But I'm just telling you, a lot of it has to do with me just being a Saints fan. I just think we need to give him a pass this week.
It's only one game.
Yep.
Got 15 more left.
The way I saw the Chiefs lose last night, or the Vikings even, guy can't kick a 37-yard field goal. Those sometimes are really tough to get over. This is the one where the coach, I never did that with a team. Well, we pretty much got to the point later on with where the film was in the cloud. We didn't have it on anything. But I remember Paul Jumonville after a certain game, you take the film and the team shows up to watch the film, and you dig a hole, you stick it in the hole, you cover it up, this is over.
Everybody has poopers, so.
Yeah. I do want to know this. If I could get along with Sean Payton and ask him a question, I just really thought that Taysom Hill was going to play a much larger role in the offense. To me, if you're going to play Taysom Hill, I'm going to throw out a number, 5% of the time when Drew Brees was there. You think that's a fair number, 5% of the snaps he took?
Yeah, I think he was in 8 to 10 plays a game. Yeah.
Okay, so 5%. Shouldn't he be playing 15% of the snaps when Jameis is in there? I mean, wouldn't you think, especially to keep people off balance? I don't know if Sean's just like, hey, I need to show people that this is Jameis's team. I don't know. But that bothers me. What bothers me more is Alvin Kamara rushed 8 times for 5 yards. Jones Jr., 3 carries for 7. Jameis, for the second straight week, leads the Saints in rushing at 3 carries for 19 yards.
That's not good.
Kamara, 4 receptions for 25. Callaway, 2 for 8. Callaway, in the preseason, I mean, a lot of people picked him up as a backup on their fantasy teams. Seems to catch a ball early in every game, but then he just goes away.
Disappears.
Now let's talk Bobby Hebert, who really at times aggravates the bejesus out of me. A okay? Because, I don't know, ever since he acted like a total dad when his son was playing for LSU in the whole Les Miles. And look, I was never a Les Miles fan, okay? But just completely, when you are that large of a radio personality, you got to let the dad-son thing go away. And he just acted like a total dad during that season when his son was a senior at LSU. But anyway, I've always had a hard time getting over that and taking him seriously after that. But he alluded to the not-so-obvious problem with Jameis in that he is not setting up his protections at the line of scrimmage properly, which for those of you out there that you just watch the game and you're not as much a student of it and don't, you know, the quarterback has to get up and set. When he sees an edge blitz, an interior blitz, he's got to send his offensive line a certain way. The back typically goes the opposite way if he is in the protection. If he's not, you got to throw hot. There's all kind of different things in there. And Drew Brees was a master at that. Not better than Peyton Manning, ultimate, you know, Tom Brady, those guys. They've got to be. When you're not a mobile quarterback, you better be really good at seeing where the blitzes are coming from, knowing what's a fake. And the way you know if it's a fake, it's about how the secondary is supporting it. You know when the safeties are spinning. I'm going to try to give a really easy example. If you see pressure coming from the right, from the outside to the quarterback's right, but you don't see safeties moving that way, typically it's a bluff. Because when they're coming from over there, you've got to spin the coverage that way. That's just really elementary. But that's part of it. And so he says, Bobby says, that's where Jameis is really faltering, because they were all over him. I'm talking about the second he planted his foot, there was somebody in his vision. There was somebody tormenting him. Sean Payton comes in later. Now, is Sean Payton just taking up for his quarterback? Is he just taking the bullet? But he comes in later to support what Bobby said, that our protection plan was inadequate. That the plan set up by the coaches was inadequate. So we'll see about that one. We'll see how that plays out during the year, because I promise you, the NFL, there is no more of a copycat league than the NFL. And the future Saints opponents will be looking at this film and saying, okay, this is what they did. This is how the Saints reacted to it. Let's see if we can do the same thing. But I will say this. I discussed it off air, and I'll say it again. Everybody loves Alvin Kamara. Hey, he's a great player. One of the top three fantasy picks pretty much on everybody's board. But that game, if it comes down to one play and you want to describe that game, look at the third down that he did not attempt very much to get a first down. He did not give his all to get a first down. He ran out of bounds. He did not extend the football. He did not stick his foot in the ground to try to get up the field. The dude ran out of bounds. And I know he knew where the chain was. He was running right at it. And that's not good. When you're supposed to be, now that your fearless leader, Drew Brees, is gone, this guy's got to be setting up, you know, stepping up. You know, quit worrying about LaBorden Earls, pal. Okay? Which I'm telling you, I change the channel or turn it down for those commercials. But that one got to me, because everybody saw it. They were commenting about it on Twitter. You can't do that. You've got to inspire your teammates. I don't expect you to be Earl Campbell every play. In that situation, if it's second down, but this is third down. You need a first down. You're down two scores, and he runs out of bounds. Give me a break, dude. A lot of tackles for the Saints. you know, they padded their stats on defense because they were on defense all night long. Demaryius Davis, 12 total tackles. Marcus Williams, 8. Adebo, 8. Bond, 7, along with the one lone highlight of the game. Jenkins, 6. Cameron Jordan, 6. So, hey, lots of tackles. But Jameis Winston, 11 of 22, 111 yards, 2 interceptions, 4 sacks. Sean Payton, 128 total yards for this team, the fewest ever for a Sean Payton coach football team. Fewest ever. Ever. Is Carolina that good?
They scored 19 points on the Jets.
Yeah, the biggest on ESPN this morning, the big question was the Panthers and the Raiders are both 2-0. Are they that good? You know, now the Raiders went 2-0 last year and ended up 8-8. But are they that good? Now, I will say the Panthers look pretty good on defense, and I will say that Sam Darnold, that may end up right now, it looks like the ultimate moves of the offseason were the more glorified one would be Stafford to the Rams. But the other one may be Darnold to the Panthers.
26 out of 38 for 305 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an intercept.
And no better. How awesome is Darnold to Arnold? How often did we see Darnold to Arnold?
That's right. Or the Arnolds.
Darnold to Arnold. Gosh, man, just hard to watch. I fell asleep late. I was hanging with my mom this weekend, and I got in the easy chair, and I'm not watching this anymore. And look, the Saints, I'm not saying the Patriots are explosive by any stretch, but the Patriots are a solid football team. They're going to play good defense. Intercepted Zach Wilson yesterday 4 times to beat the Jets, but they're not explosive on offense. I scored 17 against the Finns. I forget how much they scored yesterday, but off of 4 turnovers, you're supposed to score 35 points when a team gives you the ball that many times.
And the Finns gave up 35 points.
Oh, no, I know, 35. Believe me, I know that. Believe me, the Finn, and then quarterbacks hurt. Not looking good for the Finns. So, I don't know. The Saints, can I use the term, are they an enigma right now?
Yeah.
Are they officially an enigma? We just don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. So.
An anomaly?
An anomaly. was the first game an anomaly or the second game an anomaly? That's the question.
You're right.
That's the question. Which was the anomaly? Or was neither, and they're just, I don't know. They're just somewhere dead in the middle, destined to be mediocre. I will say this. Let's just talk defense real fast. When you've got Onyemata and Davenport, Marcus Davenport.
Yes.
Those two guys are going to make a difference.
And Lattimore, too.
Yes, yes. But just on that defensive front, you know, I'm always a believer that's where you're going to win and lose them.
And Gardner, the other guy, Gardner, from Florida.
Got to start fights.
Four or five defensive starters.
Oh, 10 total when you look at Lutz and everybody from the get-go.
Yes.
Do we have a caller?
We do.
You're on the air with Coach Indes, Bayou Sports.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Just kind of calling to weigh in with my Saints analysis here.
Boy.
What, you know, kind of what I saw.
Struggle bus.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, this is kind of what, I hate to say it, but this is kind of what we kind of expected from Jameis Winston, and that from week to week, I just don't know what I'm gonna get. You know, where I'm gonna start off with the offensive line, in that they just played terrible. I mean, they were bad. And now, you know, would having the offensive line coach there and making some changes in the blocking assignments made a difference? I don't know, but their scheme was horrible. I mean, when you got Adam Trautman lined up on the left side, you know, trying to give help, and then he has to slide all the way over to the right to try to get a blitzing defensive lineman. No, I mean, he doesn't have time to get there. And that resulted in two huge sacks, you know. I just thought that was bad. Guys that you normally depend on, Armstead and Ramczyk, that normally are really solid, just did not play well.
I think it's huge if we find out, was it Jameis that was screwing up on the protections at the line of scrimmage, or was that something that the Saints' offensive brain trust said, okay, this is just how we're going to protect this week against these certain situations? Because I think that's huge. What? I hope it's the coaches, because the coaches can fix it. Jameis, in his whatever season in the NFL, he's not going to get any smarter, okay?
No.
So if that truly is on Jameis, we're in a bind. Now, if it's on the coaching staff, that's different.
The other theory I heard, which, you know, does make some sense in the post-game analysis, is that Cesar Ruiz just didn't do a very good job either in changing the protections or calling him out at the line at center, whereas he filled in admirably that first week. But I just – it's like Green Bay didn't want to be there the first week playing football.
So
I don't know how difficult that was that first game. This Carolina defensive front, the front they were showing, they were definitely bringing pressure constantly. And we should have made some adjustments, and there should have been some intermediate routes, you know, kind of wide open, I would have thought. I just think, you know, sometimes you have to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself. Who do we have on offense besides Kamara that would start for most other
teams? I tell you this, we can't win one-on-one. The Saints receivers can't win. I say can't. They aren't winning in one-on-one situation. You have to win. When you're out there on the island, you know, I'm watching the Cowboys. I watched so much football yesterday. And just watching these quarterbacks and receivers, the second it's man-to-man, you know, they're playing pitch and catch, throwing 10-yard comebacks, you know, all these things in which the Saints receivers aren't winning.
No, they're not. And that was one of my big concerns at the beginning of the year was, okay, well, we knew Michael Thomas said that by that time was not going to be ready. You know, obviously the draft had already passed, so we couldn't go back. And I don't really like to draft a wide receiver late in the first round anyway, but there had to be some better options. Now, you know, Kenny Stills may well come off the practice squad. Maybe he certainly flashed early in his career, you know. But I don't know that we're going to have that answer this season. I don't know how we can get a whole lot better at receiver.
This is my humble opinion. Is it when you don't have that juggernaut quarterback that you can just say, okay, hey, you know, take this game and win it, okay? And we don't. We don't. Anybody thinks we do, you know. Now, I don't think he's bad. I do think he's right in the middle, you know, of the NFL hierarchy at quarterback, somewhere in the middle. He has to have a run game to support him. Has to. The best way to slow down those blitzes. Now, all those blitzes, you know, people talk about run blitzes, and there are run blitzes. Typically, they're your Mickey crosses. It's where the backers are crossing and some different things. But 85 to 90% of your blitzes, they're pass blitzes. And the way you stop people from doing it is you crease it. Because when you blitz, you say, oh, all the gaps are covered. No, look, all it takes is for one guy's shoulders to turn. I used to always show this to my defensive team, and I would line up four defensive linemen square. Okay, and I would measure the inches between their shoulder pads and say, okay, there's 12 inches between all their shoulder pads right now. So between the four of them on the inside, 1, 2, 3, 4, there's 48 inches of air. Okay, well, then I'd turn them sideways in the exact same geographical spot where their spinal cord did not move. I just turned them. And that 48 inches of air just turned into three times that. Okay, and that's what happens when people are blitzing. It creates air, and if you crease that air, you're gone. But if the defense doesn't respect, they can't run the ball. We're gonna blow them up. So you have to. They have to be able to run the football to support Jameis Winston. Have to.
Yeah.
Have to.
And I thought they needed to give more touches to Tony Jones. You know, earlier. I mean, he certainly had a couple of nice runs. I hate to say it. You know, because I mean he's certainly been one of the best players we've ever had. But, you know, Kamara, I mean, he's just lollygagged yesterday.
No doubt.
Out of bounds away. No. Come on. You got to turn it
that,
up.
That out-of-bounds run, is still, I'm still ticked off about that run. That set the tone as much as any play of the game.
Yeah, it really did, you know. And so, yeah, I hope, you know, now it's on to, you know, on to New England. I just hope that Carolina didn't, you know, again, kind of flash the blueprint on how to, you know, defeat the protection of the Saints' offensive line. And going forward, I still just kind of think it's going to be one of those roller coaster seasons. Some weeks will look great. The thing we have to remember, though, is that, you know, he just really made a couple throws yesterday. It looked like the old Jameis. Right. You can't.
And our ace in the hole is Sean Payton. Sean Payton still is one of the greatest minds. I'm going to throw it out there. Greatest minds ever. I really believe that. I believe that Sean Payton's that good. You know, he's got a lot moving around in that brain. And if there's somebody that can do it, I think he can. But again, Jameis, a lot like Lamar Jackson, except not nearly as good, not nearly as explosive. But I always say about Lamar Jackson, Lamar giveth and Lamar taketh away. And you've got to take both with him, because Lamar Jackson is going to screw. I mean, he's going to screw up, but he's also going to do things, you know, that are just going to kill you. And Jameis is going to do stuff that kills you.
Yeah, and the thing that I guess, again, just getting back to it, and I'll leave with that, but well, one more thing I just wanted real quick. But, you know, when he threw for 5,000 yards in Tampa Bay, man, he had some weapons. He had Mike Evans. He had Chris Godwin. He had, you know, you can go down. He has five receivers that could have started for anybody. And again, we just don't have that.
Yeah,
right
there's
now.
A reason but, Tom well, Brady. There's a reason Tom Brady wanted to go to Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
It wasn't only the weather.
And he brought Gronk with him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you saw how that happened. You just got to see the commercial.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
I'm wearing my pants.
Thank God Gronk's mom got his pants for him. Yeah.
It's a great commercial, by the way. It's a great commercial.
But I will say, I thought, given the, you know, and again, given the injuries especially, but I thought the defense actually played pretty well. You know what I mean? You knew McCaffrey was going to get his touches. Now this is I just want to say Peyton Turner, I thought, played very, very well. I was very encouraged to see what he could do, both as a pass rusher and as a run stopper. But Coach, I'm going to hang up and listen. I just want your opinion on this. Do you think it's reckless? I know what I think, but you're leading by what, 24, 27, whatever it was, 25 points, and Christian McCaffrey still running the ball with a minute and a half left. I think that's just stupid. You know, why risk injury? Why would you possibly do that? And I'll go ahead and hang up and listen. Y'all have a great day, boy.
You got it. I totally agree with Boxcar right there. No, that guy, that dude is special, man.
Yeah, he is special.
No, shouldn't be in the game. Now, for my fantasy points, which I needed every one of them yesterday and still got my butt kicked, but for my fantasy points, I want him in the game. I was so ticked off, like two different times it looked like he was going to score, and they stop him right there on the one. I'm like, no, if you're going to score, if you're going to get that close, I want McCaffrey to
score. Get me out of my misery.
Yeah, exactly. But no, Boxcar, total agreement that, no, that guy shouldn't be in the game right there. You know, quarterbacks are different. Quarterbacks are so protected now in the NFL. And you can manage that, but no, runners can get hurt on any given play. So, no, yeah. I total agreement that is reckless. I'm not sure what Carolina was thinking right there. All right, we're pretty late in this segment. Let's go ahead and we'll put the Saints to bed. We'll bury the tape. We're going to move on to LSU. We'll move on to some more positive talk with LSU and the Cajuns. So we're going to be right back. Remember, give us a call at 367-1240 right here, 107.5 FM.
Looking for a dentist in the Bayou area? Look no further than Babineau Family Dental. Dr. Todd Babineau has been in practice for 33 years and is a proud CHS grad of 77. Babineau Family Dental always accepts new patients and accepts every major insurance policy. Dr. Todd provides multitudes of services from colored tooth fillings all the way to sleep apnea appliances. Best of the test winners three times. Babineau Family Dental located at 621 Rue Dionetta behind North Lewis. Call them at 367-3739. Visit their website at drtoddbabineau.com. Or visit them on Facebook at Babineau Family Dental.
Hi, this is Gabe Sanner, co-owner of Mako Restoration, the water and mold damage professionals. If you have water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business, don't hesitate to call us. Do you need help with your insurance claim? Our team can assist you with every step of the process. We offer 24/7 on-call service to our customers, and we treat each customer just like family. For more information, call us at 337-210-1211 or visit us online at makorestoration.com. That's makorestoration.com.
The dog days of summer are here, and you'll need an experienced local HVAC contractor to keep you comfortable. Call Harris Heating and Cooling. They service all brands, honor all warranties, and proudly sell Trane equipment. Andrew Harris has 22 years' experience and works 7 days a week to keep you comfortable. If you're considering replacing your system or just aren't happy with its performance, call today at 376-6221 or visit harrisheatcool.com.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand? That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it, from signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
We at Hike Menville Grubbs and Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubbs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville Grubbs and Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
The Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. The Sugarcane Festival may have been canceled, but the Quarter Tavern second annual Fay Dodo will take place Thursday through Sunday. Thursday, Chubby Carrier and Zydeco Trio. Friday night, it's Sideshow. Saturday, the Cajun Company Band. And Sunday, the cast beginning at 10, the Bad Boys at 2. Once again, Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main across from McDonald's, the best ring prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 5 to 8. Now on Thursdays, 3 to 6. Most drinks half price during happy hour. Follow them on Facebook for the monthly calendar and daily pop-up specials.
At Arsenault Ford, we know how important it is to keep your vehicle maintained and on the road.
We make it easy and safe to service your vehicle with curbside service, no contact service, and in some cases, pickup and delivery.
We make it easy at Arsenault Ford.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes. Phone lines are open to talk sports at 367-1240.
Okay, putting the Saints to bed, moving on.
Thank gosh, yes.
Yeah, you know, on Mondays, I swear I could sit here and talk for 3 hours, you know, with just everything going on. What I'll typically do is we'll put the NFL, the rest of the NFL, we'll put that off till Tuesday.
All right.
Our typical Monday will be Saints, LSU, other college stuff, and then high school. And, of course, we got to get to our picks.
Yeah, that's half a point, but
I'm not talking smack yet. I'm not talking. It's too early for me to talk smack.
I hear you.
Yes. All right, so LSU. I said on Friday how important it was that LSU not only won, but won convincingly, that LSU needed to go into the post-game interviews without all the coach, why this, why that. And I think they did that. For the most part, they did it. The only question that was left to be hammered about, in my opinion, after that win, is the rushing attack question. Corey Kiner rushing for 74 yards and mop-up duty, that's not going to cut it. But just like the announcers were saying during the game, you know, sometimes the defense is just taking certain things away and giving you other things. And look, when your quarterback goes 26 of 35 for 372 and 5 touchdowns with one pick, hey, let him chunk it, man.
Pretty much.
Max Johnson doing a great job. I think one of the best things that happened for Max Johnson, now, of course, you don't want to see it. Nussmeier has come in mop-up roles in the last 2 weeks twice and not looked good.
Really?
He's not looked that good. And that's not good for his future as the starting quarterback, but people need to shut up that Max Johnson shouldn't be the starting quarterback for LSU. I think that needs to just go away. He's the dude. He has, in his first five starts, going back to last year, he's in like this rare air of the only quarterbacks to throw for three or more touchdown passes in his first five starts, in every one of them.
Isn't he 4-1 too?
Yeah. He's in this rare air. So we need to leave Max Johnson alone. LSU does need to get better running the ball. A lot of folks wondering why O is being so loyal to Davis Price, 6 carries for 4 yards. Now, it is, when you're rushing like Kiner, 12 carries, 74 yards, 6.2 a carry, 1 touchdown. Doing it in mop-up is different. It's just different. Is Central Michigan still playing hard? What starters are still in? I don't know. But Corey Kiner does look to be the better back. He made a Clyde Edwards-esque, and I hate to bring him up because he fumbled the ball. He just totally screwed the pooch last night for the Chiefs.
Yep.
But spin move on the goal line that I just don't think Tyrion Davis Price can do on his best day. I'm going to go negative about one thing about LSU, and it's got nothing to do with the way they played. Devontae Smith, 5 catches, 135 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, why does that bother me? Why does it bother me that Devontae Smith had 5 catches for 135 yards and 2 touchdowns?
Where was he in the other game?
No.
No?
It's not that. This was the type of game that I think Jake Peets, Max Johnson, you could have highlighted any receiver you wanted.
All right.
You follow?
Okay.
LSU was that much better. Unlike the receivers for the Saints being able to win against the Panthers, every receiver for LSU could win against these guys. All over the fan pages, message boards, were that Devontae Smith was bellyaching the last 2 weeks about he wanted to transfer, he wasn't getting the balls thrown his way. So, to stop that, all right, we're gonna make you the star of the show this week. Well, guess what? I'm Coy Moore, who's a 4-star guy who only got one ball thrown his way. Oh, wait, look. Look what Devontae Smith did. He complained. He told everybody he was going to transfer if they don't get him the ball. It ain't hard to figure. It ain't hard to figure. Sometimes you say, hey, partner, if you got to go, go. I'm sorry. Now, Devontae Smith might turn into one of LSU's best receivers. Okay? And that I always chalk up, and again, I had a very short tenure in college football coaching. And I always go back, I guess, just to rationalize my exit because I hated it. I hated the recruiting. I hated the leverage that the player has on the coach relative to high school ball. College players now have more leverage than NFL players do because of the transfer portal.
And NIL.
Yes. They have more leverage than NFL players do. NFL players are tied down to contracts. Because I'm telling you, I get wind from Devontae Smith's coach, receivers coach. Oh, coach, he's saying if he don't get the ball, he's going to transfer. Hey, why don't we set up a meeting? Hey, buddy, sit down. You know what? Get better. Because I'll be honest, like I said, I think that any player could have been highlighted. Jack Betch with a wonderful game, 5 catches for 81 yards. Lee with a great game, 5 for 47. Keyshawn Booty, 6 for 44. Probably Booty got hurt not got hurt physically because they were looking for Smith so much, because Booty needs to be the go-to guy. One thing I will say about Booty, he's faster, way faster. I'm going to compare him because he's in that type of league that I can compare him to these guys. So let's compare him to Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. What, he is faster than those guys, but he does not have their wiggle. He does not have their suddenness. He can't stop and start. Justin Jefferson is one of the greatest stop-start guys that I've seen in a long time. And that's where Kayshon falls a little short compared to those guys. I do think he's an NFL guy. I think he's a first-round NFL guy. But he's a different guy. He's not the guy that's going to catch the ball in the middle of the field, stick his foot in the ground, spin move and go. He's going to catch it, stay in stride, take it to the sideline, and outrun you. But again, Kayshon needs to watch it. That speed sweep that they ran, which is considered a pass, which is stupid, when they pitch it forward. I had a huge problem with that way back when I was at Catholic High in Lorville. Trent Delahousie started doing that with Bonnet.
Yes.
Okay. And they were padding his passing stats, and it was runs. They were just pitching the ball real quickly forward. It's a speed sweep.
Yeah,
you show up, oh, he's passed for 2,100 yards. Yeah, but 500 of them were on speed sweeps.
True.
Great player. Great player. Ended up at Louisiana Tech, and his brother was a great player as well. Now passed away, but great players. But again, LSU needs to work on the rushing attack. There's no doubt. Defensively, look solid. How good is Central Michigan? They look not to be bad. To me, coming into the game, they look to be an above-average FCS, not FCS, above-average group of five team. Time will tell.
The Chippewas, huh?
Chippewas. I'm an Indian outlaw.
Let me tell you.
Half Cherokee and
Choctaw. Thank God they didn't play Western Michigan. They beat Pittsburgh.
My baby, she's
weekend.
A Chippewa. Really?
Yeah, Western Michigan beat Western. Pittsburgh.
What's that all about? Oh, it was. I loved it when they said one guy, one of the best players from the UP. Do you know what the UP is?
No, but if you tell me, I will.
It's the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, right. The island, yeah.
So you have Michigan. Most people don't know about the Upper Peninsula to the northwest.
Yeah, you wouldn't live there.
Which is not attached to...
That's right. It's a bridge to get there.
To Michigan.
That's right.
It's the UP, the Upper Peninsula, which is much further north than a lot of Canadian. Like, it's way further north of Toronto and, you know, places like that. Yeah, from the UP.
Is that where Sault Ste. Marie is?
I don't know.
My brother-in-law,
born and raised in Michigan, so I know a little Michigan. If you ever want to be entertained about something to read about the war between Ohio and Michigan.
Yeah,
I think we've talked about that on the show before, and it goes back to the hatred between the two states. There was an actual war. Now, it's using the term loosely. But I do believe it was the Toledo War, the Great Toledo War, this certain patch of land between the two states, yeah. Way back when,
yeah,
1800s.
Watch the documentary about how the states were shaped.
Yeah. So,
but Sault Ste. Marie is in the Upper Peninsula, okay. And it snows there like 120 days out the year.
Interesting. I bet there's some good hunting up there.
If you want
to, isn't that mineral? I think it's a very mineral. And wait, part of the agreement of the Toledo War, I think I'm right,
okay,
is that Ohio maybe got Toledo and Michigan got the UP. They gave Michigan the UP.
I think there's something to that recall, yes.
And Michigan was the big winner because the UP ended up being full of like iron ore.
Yeah.
All these minerals.
But that's where the Grand Hotel is, up in that area too. No cars on the island.
So LSU... Mississippi State, a good opponent for LSU next week.
Yeah,
another one. Look,
get an idea what they really like.
Because, guys, if Mississippi State gives LSU a game, that's not good. Mississippi State is not a good football team.
They're not. No, they had destroyed.
Now, they had the horrible loss to Memphis because of the not downed punt. punt. But the official
missed the call.
I don't know if he – no, he didn't miss the call. Technically, the ball was live, but the official came in. Now, you can't tell if he blew his whistle, but he is stopping the clock with his arm motion, which is a major screw-up. You can't do that.
Well, I saw a picture of the Mississippi State player with his hand on the ball.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so they
I think they missed a call.
Okay.
Because once a defensive player touches the ball, it's dead. I thought. I could be wrong.
No, it's not touches. It's got to secure it.
Well, I mean, he's hand on top of the ball.
But the ball was still moving. That's the problem.
Well.
It was still moving. It's from my understanding, it's got to be secured. The ball has to be secured.
I understand, but his hand was on top of the ball.
Like I said, I just think it's a moot point because the official came in waving his hands stop the clock.
That's correct.
And when you flat out lose a game over a call, that's a tough one to swallow for a coach, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, you're right.
Especially when you're making a whole bunch of money and you're about to get – you're on the chopping block. That's rough to deal with. So LSU, Mississippi, and then Auburn, and we'll talk more about Auburn later. Auburn, one of the worst fourth down to win a game calls I've ever seen. I mean, I just want to slap somebody over that one because, of course, I'm rooting for Auburn against Penn State. Although, man, Penn State with that whiteout stuff.
Yeah, that's,
how cool is that?
Yeah, it is.
Boy, I give you the frissons big time.
Yeah.
Corso?
Corso stripped down on the game day that morning. He had a white suit
did
on.
Awesome. I didn't see that. But, yeah, Auburn's solid football team. I mean, played a great Penn State team tooth and nail. So LSU needs this one against Mississippi State. All right, we're going to be back. We're going to talk we talked Cajuns already. We're going to – because Cajuns played on Thursday. We're going to talk – other college, you know, big games across the country. Some surprising stuff that happened. And seeing some trends happening in college football. So we'll come back and we'll talk about that right after these messages.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
If you need physical therapy, choose Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation. Our licensed staff is trained at the highest level to provide a customized treatment plan to give you the best results for pain-free living. Iberia Sports and Rehab has the area's only indoor heated therapy pool and Class 4 laser device, which assists the body to heal itself naturally. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia, keeping Acadiana strong and healthy. Visit isrehab.com.
Hi, this is Gabe Sanner, co-owner of Mako Restoration, the water and mold damage professionals. If you have water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business, don't hesitate to call us. Do you need help with your insurance claim? Our team can assist you with every step of the process. We offer 24/7 on-call service to our customers, and we treat each customer just like family. For more information, call us at 337-210-1211 or visit us online at makorestoration.com. That's makorestoration.com.
At Arsenal Ford, we make it easy for you to purchase a vehicle that's customized just for you.
Our customer order program makes it easy. Pick your model, your package, your color, and accessories. Then we'll have a special delivery just for you.
We make it easy at Arsenal Ford.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand?
That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it, from signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
Looking for a dentist in the Bayou area? Look no further than Babineau Family Dental. Dr. Todd Babineau has been in practice for 33 years and is a proud CHS grad of 77. Babineau Family Dental always accepts new patients and accepts every major insurance policy. Dr. Todd provides multitudes of services from colored tooth fillings all the way to sleep apnea appliances. Best of the test winners three times. Babineau Family Dental located at 621 Rue Dionetta behind North Lewis. Call them at 367-3739. Visit their website at drtoddbabineau.com. or visit them on Facebook at Babineau Family Dental.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest on the all-new Kane 107.5.
So, of course, in week one, we had a lot of huge games in college football across the board. You know, LSU, UCLA, especially for Tiger fans, that was a big one. You had Clemson, Georgia, which was huge. And several more. Well, week two, opposite. It was really nothing. It was the week every big school seemed like to play a little school.
Yeah.
Week three, we come back with some good games. None other bigger than Florida-Alabama.
Right.
I'm not going to get into the whole pick thing, but I talked about when we did our picks on Thursday.
Thursday because of the football game that night.
Yeah. And we did our picks, and I talked about how I really believe that, gosh doggy, what's Florida's coach's name?
Mullen.
Yeah, Dan Mullen. I think he's a heck of a coach, especially offensive coach. I believe he's really good. I'm not saying I'm a fan of the guy, but he's really good. But it's hard to be a fan of Florida's coach. But he's really good at what he does. I was so sure that they were going to be ready for Bama, and that's why I took Florida in the 15 points. And when Alabama came out, and they're just scoring on them like it's Madden, man. It's 21-3 before you know what happened.
It looked like a long day for Florida. You're right.
But I'll be darned. Florida. And look, did it run in the ball. Ran it up Alabama's keister.
That's right.
And played them tough. And you end up going for two to tie it at the end. I'm pretty sure Dan Mullen would have taken that pre-kickoff. Hey, if you've got an opportunity to tie the game late with a two-point conversion, will you take it? Heck yeah.
And the way they were playing, why not? Yep. Going to overtime.
Yep, and just didn't get it done. But, you know, Florida's a good football team. The quarterback, the much maligned, you know, anytime you got the sexy runner, you know, everybody wants to see the backup quarterback, and they've got the freshman who can run and do all these things, and they've been booing Florida starter. That kid looked good to me. Made a couple of loose throws, but played a solid game. And Florida, I want to say after Alabama's three straight scores, then it was three straight punts that they forced. All right, we got a caller. Welcome, Bayou Sports.
Hey, Tony.
Speaking.
We're talking about the Florida and Alabama game. Didn't the kicker miss the extra point early on in the game?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Missed extra point. You shouldn't have had to go for two.
Yeah. Well, then they had to go for two at the end. But I see what you're saying. The game would have probably been tied, you know.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No. Yeah. Kickers, man, yeah. Kickers.
But my point is, I just wanted to say that, you know, kickers do play an important part of the game.
Oh, do
and
they?
I'm listening up. I'm on my way to Lafayette, and I'm listening to the show.
Go ask a Minnesota Viking fan right now if kickers don't play an important part of the game.
Oh, yeah. No, kickers do. You're right. Hey, y'all fellas, have a good day.
All righty.
Okay, Rick. Thank you.
No doubt. Florida just, you know, misses an extra point. They should have been kicking for a tie at the end instead of going for two. And look, hey, I just, it's easy to get down on kickers because when they do what they're supposed to do, you don't even think of them. Now, when you kick that, like, Dallas's kicker yesterday. When you kick that 55-yarder to win it, oh, yeah. You know, now you become a hero.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're not Scott Norwood. But, yeah, you got to make those extra points, man. Gosh, dog it. Got to make the extra points. I mean, I realize that the goalposts are tighter in college.
Yeah.
They are tight.
Everybody's tight.
But I go back. My nephew, throw a little love out to my nephew, Thomas Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas did not have a super strong leg. But as a high school kicker, his senior year went 70 of 71.
Just got 71 touchdowns.
71 touchdowns.
Hello.
He went 70 of 71.
And how did he miss the
every,
one?
Every, I forget. But I want to say it was early in, I think it was against VC early in the year.
Ooh.
Okay.
Didn't cost you the game.
No.
Okay.
But every year after that, when we'd miss one, I'd look at him and go, you know, Thomas Gardner went 70 of 71.
I remember when Thomas kicked.
I just think it's a lack of focus. When a top-notch kicker comes up and misses an extra point, that is just it's a focus deal, man. That's just focus.
No.
It's just not that hard.
What I want to say, that's Eldridge's daughter's
grandson.
Son?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Auburn, Penn State. Auburn played Penn State so well. And then was it the two-point try that they threw the fade, or was it for a touchdown to win? I don't know. To win the game, you know, it's fourth down or either. I'm cloudy. I watch so much football this weekend.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Can't recall either.
But they throw a fade route. The guy never even got off the coverage. It was just awful. And look, I always say the only bad call I ever made are the ones that didn't work. there's that old saying.
Yeah.
You know, my sister Mary Kay made the point yesterday that when, somebody went for two. It was the Dallas game. Dallas and San Diego. San Diego went for two to make it a 14-11 game.
That's right. They made it.
Instead of 14-9.
And they made
14-10.
It.
14-10.
Yeah.
And they make it. My sister goes, what a great call. I go, no, it wasn't. She goes, huh? I said, yeah, it's a great call because it worked.
Yeah.
I said, but
right.
If it doesn't work, it's a terrible call.
Kick the extra point.
You know? Especially that early in the game. But it works, so it's a great call. Anytime they work, it's a great call.
You kick the extra.
Yeah, when you know when you fake the punt from your own 20 on 4th-and-4, and it works, what a gutty call. When it doesn't work, what a stupid call.
Punt the ball.
Okay? And look, sometimes you see something. Sometimes you see something on film.
That's right. That's when you make that
well,
call.
Well, and like I said, I think, this is what I think, that the Chargers saw the way the Cowboys played 2-point calls, and they because they ran it right up the gut.
They did.
So I'm thinking that, hey, they're really playing the pass here. They're giving up both A-gaps. That's why we're going to take that shot. It's from film study. At least I hope. Because otherwise, I don't think it's a good call. Because the numbers say that about 38 to 42% is what you're going to get that 2-point play on. It ain't 50. It ain't even close. Ole Miss, and I'm not doing this to mess with Tulane because I still think Tulane's got a pretty darn good football team.
Oh, they.
But I'm going to tell you, Ole Miss is a force to be reckoned with.
They can play offensively,
and they're not bad defensively. They're not good.
No, that's
they're
right.
not good.
That's right.
But they can play good enough defense now to where, because gosh, dog it, I don't know. Can they not score 35 points unless they just play poorly?
Their offensive play.
I'm talking about
was
against
exceptional.
Lane Kiffin.
He can. Yeah.
He's playing chess while a lot of people are playing checkers right now.
That's right.
They're at a different level, and he's got the quarterback that he needs to get it done. And don't think that they just throw it every down. They run the ball.
Yeah, and they got some big kids too.
Yes. So man, keep an eye on Ole Miss. Wake Forest.
Yeah.
You know, Florida State comes out against Notre Dame, and everybody's like, man, it looks like Norville's got it turned around. They lose in overtime to Notre Dame. Now they're 0-3. They're 0-3. They lost to Wake Forest, the Demon Deacons. Are they still called that?
Yeah.
Is that politically correct?
Can
you be called a Demon Deacon anymore?
Yeah, they are. They are.
Wasn't Northwestern State the Demon Deacons for a while?
I don't remember them, but I remember.
They were the Demons.
That's right.
They were the Demons.
That is correct.
I think a putty on Seinfeld for the New Jersey Devils. I'm a devil.
I think a kingpin.
Oklahoma, Nebraska. Scott Frost probably showed the Cornhusker faithful more in a loss than any win that maybe he can get things turned around there. I don't know how good Oklahoma is.
I don't think they're as good as we think they are.
But 23-16, in a lot of ways, outplayed Oklahoma.
Of course, that's a rival game, too.
Yes. That was a good one. Indiana beating Cincinnati most of the game. Cincinnati, of course, is the best opportunity for a group of five team. They're the number eight team in the country. If they go undefeated and you've got all these Clemsons and all, you know, let's say, you know, you've got 3-1 loss, ACC, SEC, whatever, they're going to stake a claim in a good strong one. Now, they still got Notre Dame, correct? I believe Cincinnati still has Notre Dame on their schedule.
Not this week, I think, but next.
But if they beat Notre Dame, Indiana was expected to be a lot better than they are this year, but still they're better than Indiana usually is.
Yeah, they started off ranked, and I knew the answer to that trivia question they had when was the last time Indiana played in the Rose Bowl and won the Big Ten champ, and that was 1967.
Wow. That was a year after I was born. Well, actually just probably it was a month after I was born.
Yeah,
because I was born in December of 66.
Yeah.
That was probably January of 67. So Cincinnati still getting it done. Coastal Carolina, to me, a 27-24 win over Buffalo doesn't help them at all. I think that's one of Jeff's picks. And I would have thought Coastal would have handled Buffalo a whole lot better. So that's, you know, Coastal will not move up in the polls because of a 27-24 win over Buffalo, unless a lot of people right in front of them lost. And I still don't think they should move up. If you're going to be a group of five team that aspires to be a top 10 team, you need to hammer these other non-ranked group of five schools. Michigan is showing some serious style points. Now, Northern Illinois, who the heck's Northern Illinois? Okay. Oh, I did not know that. Turbo started pointing. I did not know that. That was not an intentional dig, Mr. Boggs. But Michigan just throttles Northern Illinois, which Michigan, during Harbaugh's tenure, that's one of the problems. Not only, of course, beating Ohio State, but beating these group of five type schools very unimpressively. But it looks like Michigan has shored up speed. They do have a lot more big play potential. Now, on the other side of it, Ohio State ends up beating Tulsa 41-20, but the game was a whole lot closer than that.
It was.
Ohio State has problems.
Yeah.
They have problems. And then for LSU fans, I'm one of them. Of course, when you get beat by a team early in the year, you want to see them do well, because it makes you feel better about yourself.
True.
But then Fresno State comes up and beats UCLA 40-37, which makes you feel even lesser about yourself.
That's right.
I really enjoyed my one visit to Fresno State. When I was at Louisiana Tech, we played Fresno State. 2 weeks, 3 weeks before, we had traveled to Cal. And I've said this before on the show. If you've heard this story before, I apologize. But Cal's fans, typical Berkeley-esque fans, welcome. Hey, you guys are doing a great job. DeSean Jackson just, you know, he's killing us. Oh, hey, y'all hang in there. You know, at halftime, I remember there wasn't an elevator. We had to literally go down the, you know, just walk down the stands. Everybody being so nice to us. So I get to Fresno, I'm thinking, hey, California's California. You get to Fresno, it's just like being at an LSU game. Hey, you suck! And that's when I realized that's the Republican part of California. Yeah. That's the farmers. That's the flatland.
That's Orange County.
There's
no
mountains around. It's a completely atypical. It's not what you think California is.
That's right.
A bunch of farmers.
That's right.
Salt of the earth folks. Yes. Very different. Went to a bar the night before. I remember Terry Joseph and I, who coaches at Texas now. And we're hanging out. They're like, We were like, man, this is like South Louisiana, man. Bunch of dudes with ball caps on, you know? Oh, yeah, great stuff. All right, so we're going to come back, wrap up football with our high school roundup. Some big games. Catholic High played 5A school extremely well. Lorville with a big win. And, of course, the Berry Bowl.
Well, quick question. Is Clemson can't score?
Oh, no, they're terrible. They're terrible on offense.
They beat Georgia Tech 14-8.
Oh, yes. And then they've got pictures of them dancing in their locker room, which they're getting ripped over that. Ukulele needs to go find him a ukulele.
Yeah.
That dude. Hey, he ain't getting it done.
That game surprised me because Tech had gone from the wishbone, but
yeah, they went from the flex game,
yeah,
and they're terrible.
Yeah,
they're terrible.
Yeah, and they had to struggle.
No, Clemson needs to get beat. Clemson needs to get beat and go away this year. And just, you know, I'm sorry, the ACC. Miami got hammered by Michigan State. The ACC's garbage. The Big Ten is stepping up this year. The Pac 12 is stepping up this year,
yeah.
But the ACC is garbage.
Yeah. It looks like it right now.
What you got, Jeff?
Northern Illinois. You know, MAC champions many, many years.
Oh, no.
It's been a rough couple of years. But, no, let me tell you.
Southern Illinois is the Salukis.
Correct. Huskies.
Huskies. Yeah, the dogs.
Now, so I'm watching Northern. I'm watching Coastal Carolina, Quarter Tavern, 19 TVs. Do the math, you know. I'm watching some football Saturday. Northern, 9 straight drives for touchdowns for Michigan. Northern squeaked in a field goal somewhere early on. But anyway, and then I know they beat Georgia Tech 2 weeks ago. And then I see Georgia Tech almost beating Clemson. Yeah. And I'm like, how was Northern so bad 1 week and so decent another week?
I wonder if Clemson's that. Well, Clemson's got to be pretty good on defense. They held Georgia to 10 points.
Yeah.
So, no. But you know what? Football sometimes can be so much about the matchup. Just how does that team match up? You know,
this
team's got a great receiver. Hey, but we might not be very good, but we got a great corner. They can neutralize that guy. We got this or that. It's just
it's a lot of that.
But great point. But yeah, I do remember during my time. I'm going to say 07, 08, 09, Northern Illinois. I remember Louisiana Tech played them in the year after I left. Played them in a bowl game.
Well, Northern went to the Orange Bowl, got hammered by Florida State.
Yeah, but still made it to the Orange Bowl.
Busted the BCS system at the time.
Yep. I remember. Yeah, Northern Illinois
was kind
of pulling a Cincinnati.
Yeah. They kept losing good coaches. Yeah. And
a la Arkansas State. You know, Arkansas State, that's what's happened to them. Although they'd replace a Malzahn with the guy that ended up at Ole Miss, Freeze, and stuff like that. But you're right. They end up being stepping stone jobs.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be right back. We're going to talk picks from last week. We'll see how we fared, and then we'll move into some high school football right after these messages.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
If you're suffering from a sports-related injury, choose Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation. Our highly trained and licensed team will work with your physician to provide a customized treatment plan to help you recover as soon as possible. Iberia Sports and Rehab is proud to partner with our local middle and high schools to keep their athletes healthy and in the game. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia. Visit isrehab.com.
The Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. The Sugarcane Festival may have been canceled, but the Quarter Tavern second annual Fay Dodo will take place Thursday through Sunday. Thursday, Chubby Carrier and Zydeco Trio. Friday night, it's Sideshow. Saturday, the Cajun Company Band. And Sunday, the cast beginning at 10, the Bad Boys at 2. Once again, Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main across from McDonald's, the best ring prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 5 to 8. Now on Thursdays, 3 to 6. Most drinks half price during happy hour. Follow them on Facebook for the monthly calendar and daily pop-up specials.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
The dog days of summer are here, and you'll need an experienced local HVAC contractor to keep you comfortable. Call Harris Heating and Cooling. They service all brands, honor all warranties, and proudly sell Trane equipment. Andrew Harris has 22 years' experience and works 7 days a week to keep you comfortable. If you're considering replacing your system or just aren't happy with its performance, call today at 376-6221. Or visit HarrisHeatCool.com.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
We at Hike Menville Grubbs and Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubbs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville Grubbs and Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes. Phone lines are open to talk sports at 367-1240.
Welcome back. Before we get into high school, we're going to go over our picks. We'll go ahead and start with Turbo.
Yeah, I just had a rough weekend all the way around. That's why
it was close. Very close games.
Yeah, that
you start out with the Rams giving 3.5.
That's right. And it went up to 4, too.
And they win by 3.
That's right.
They win by 3 over
the Colts.
It's
amazing how these bookies work, man. I don't know a poor bookie. And I've never placed a bet with a bookie. I want to make that public.
I have placed a bet through a guy who gave one to me.
Okay.
So I guess that's placing
one. I've never done that. I bet. I've
done that probably less than 5 times in my life.
And I can tell you, I'll bet you $10. Now I've done games.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but I've never placed a bet with a bookie.
Now, Cardinals were minus 3.5, and – They
hung on.
They hang on to beat the Vikes. Now, the Vikes, 37-yard field goal. Mm-hmm. In the NFL, you don't miss 37.
And you know what? They were down. The Cardinals were down, I think, a couple touchdowns early.
Yep. So, Turbo goes 0-2 for the week, which puts him 1-3 on the season. Jeff, like the Cajuns, and the Cajuns came through for him.
Oh, absolutely. And, I joked about the concessionaires, but – and that is a word. I know you were talking about that Friday. It is a word. There's a couple of meanings to it as well. But anyway, people who sell concessions, that's one of them. But anyway, I felt good about them. I really knew that their offense was better than they had shown. Low-hanging fruit, for the Cajuns.
Yeah, and the other thing is that talking to my buddy Tim this morning, Nichols, everybody was down on the Cajuns' rushing attack. Nichols, there's something about when these FCS schools play a Division I school. They throw caution to the wind. And Tim Rebo, even though Levi Lewis is a really good player, he's not a carry-the-team kind of guy. And Nichols said, to heck with it. They loaded up the box, played cover zero all night long, and said, can your receivers beat our DBs, and can Levi Lewis consistently make those throws?
Yeah.
And that's why the Cajuns couldn't run the ball against Nichols State. That's why.
But
they sure ran it Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they ran it up.
But, you know, Ben, it always looks like he's looking for his safety valve, man. He throws these low out passes, and the receivers do a good job of catching them near the line of scrimmage. He gave him 4, 5, and 6 yards.
Yep. No, he manages. He's a manager. He's a game manager.
Yeah.
You know, Levi Lewis is not going to be drafted in the NFL. He's not, I don't even think he'll be picked up as a free agent.
He might be able to play in Canada.
You know, I mean, you got to realize the guy's 5'10".
Yeah.
Okay? He's 5'10".
180 maybe?
Yeah. But does a really good job. Now, Coastal didn't come through for you.
No.
Gets the win, but again, I thought I liked that pick. But
yeah, I watched, because the Northern game was so compelling, I found myself watching the Coastal game a little more. And the whole pace of the game looked like they were going to win by 14. I was giving 14.5, though, so that was going to be problematic. But the whole time I could see they were just playing not to lose.
Yep.
And you can do that, especially on the road. You just make sure you secure the victory, and that's what I saw.
Was it cold? I was wondering.
I don't think it was that bad in Buffalo.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it'd be cold yet.
No.
Although
no,
we do, I know we've got that. It's coming to us right
it's
now.
It always
got,
happens in the, on the when the fall opens up, and it always gets a little cooler.
That is tough when you're not. And again, I agree with you. Probably wasn't cold, but it when you're a Southern team and you go up and all of a sudden that first time you get in that frigid cold, that can be a problem.
Now, you don't usually see that
until
– it's pretty much on the same latitude as Chicago.
Got it.
Mid-October you might get something that's a little disturbing, but pretty rare.
The high today in Buffalo is 82. So.
Gotcha. Now, I always say I'd rather have more luck than sense, and, got a little lucky this weekend. I pick Florida taking 15. Of course, when it's 21-3, I'm like, oh, Brent.
it looks like it.
What an awful pick.
48-14.
And again, I bet on Dan Mullen. That's who I put my money on right there.
Former state coach, huh?
Yeah. I just really believe, and they played Alabama very close last year, and it worked out for me. Ended up almost winning the game. And then A&M, again, I don't know Dan Mullen, but I know Jimbo Fisher, and I know Jim how he is about his offense. And I knew coming off of that Colorado game that not only did he want to get his offense on track, but he was going to try to score every single point that he could. I'll be honest with you. I am shocked, not shocked, that I'm glad they pitched a zero, a shutout, because I figured they were going to score 50,
which
leads me to believe that A&M is really just not that good on offense. If they only score – because understand something, when you are, and I know y'all understand, but maybe somebody at home, when you're pitching a shutout against the opposition, when you're throwing three and outs, your offense has a lot of opportunities to score. And they go hand in hand. You're not going to score a jillion points when the other team's holding on to the ball a lot.
That's right.
Often I've heard your best offense is a good defense.
Absolutely. It's an old cliche, but it's correct.
If you don't give up any points, you're not going to lose.
Absolutely. But so, again, it was a good pick for me, but I figured that score would end up being, 54-20.
Or even 7 or 10 or something. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. And, of course, those –
what was the spread there?
30.
Okay.
And those games are always hard to pick because you never know. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to throw a little shade on O. He pulled his quarterback way too early. You don't put your backup in, only up 4 touchdowns, okay? I think it was 4, in the third quarter. Things can happen, man, and I don't care if you think that your backup is pretty good.
Or maybe you want to find out how good he is.
You're letting your team know that this game's over.
Yeah.
I just believe that. I'm sorry, and I've seen too many times scores, onside kicks. I've just seen it too many times, and – LSU did overcome it, but they did score a couple of quick ones. But we're going to leave the defensive starters in. The second those defensive starters see that backup come in, they're like, oh, game's over.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Coach thinks game's over. Yeah. And I'm sorry, you're just not playing with the same enthusiasm.
Yeah, it was 42-14 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's just my opinion. High school, Catholic High playing St. Paul's. I watched – from late first quarter on, I watched the game on VSN. St. Paul's, not a lot of explosive players, but still a 5A school, big kids. Catholic High hung with them extremely well. In my opinion, could have, should have won the game. Moved the ball up, not up and down the field, but had a lot of opportunities.
Kind of dominated 40 out of 48 minutes.
Yes,
just a couple of bad series.
Yes. The long pass for St. Paul's, the Wolves, for one touchdown, a short field for another. But Marco Austin, 16 carries, 62 yards. Catholic High only threw one pass.
Yeah.
And even on like 3rd and 10, no passes. So hopefully they can work on that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to prognosticate KK Reno did have a look to be a significant injury in the third, maybe fourth quarter. So Godspeed to to the Panthers and KK. Yeah.
Well, you know,
he's such an important part of that team.
St. Paul scored two quick points in like.
Oh, really?
Two
did
minutes.
Nothing after that. Yeah.
It was seven. It felt like I had taken the lead in the second quarter.
St. Paul's couldn't move the ball. They just couldn't move the ball. Catholic High's defense, Russell Davis had a huge play on a fourth down. It was pretty great performance by the Panthers. Highland Baptist, Jaworski Joseph, 190 yards, rushing, two touchdowns. Beat St. John out of Plaquemine. They've got Beekman next week.
It's already been a forfeit. Beekman, COVID, they were out last week.
Beekman played eight-man football last year. I thought.
Wow.
I'm not positive, but I thought.
They probably can't afford too much COVID.
Exactly. Yeah. Lorville, huge win over Kinder. I looked at the stat sheet after that game. The stats were a whole lot closer than the score indicated. I know there were some Kinder fans just going off on Twitter and this and that about the officiating. But, you know, my deal is you complain about the officiating in a 32-28 game.
Yeah.
You know, one touchdown. You know, 41-8. Come on. Come on, man. Caleb Jacob continuing his great year. 119 throwing, 106 rushing. He's Lorville's KK Reno, but with a couple of more guys around. He has his twin brother.
Mm-hmm.
And also running back Evan Seymour, who has 10 carries for 111 yards. So, yeah, you know, Kinder, 11 yards a carry.
Kinder usually has a pretty good team.
No, Kinder's always solid. As a matter of fact, Lorville avenges their, I believe, semifinal loss last year.
I want to say quarterfinal.
Quarterfinal loss. Yeah. And like I said, Manny has been the team typically year in and year out. Faraday every now and then, but that public school section of AA is wide open. And Lorville's got a shot.
Yeah.
They've got a legitimate shot.
Yeah, right now they've got good power points with a 3A, a 4A school, yeah, and then finally played a 2A school.
But Kendra will go and win 7-8 games, you know, which will, that's 10 plus that. So that's an 18-point win, which is huge. Westgate, kind of like, you know, we knew Nish was outgunned.
Nish could not run the ball at all.
Yeah.
I've got the stat sheet across my desk, but it was brutal. It was just brutal. They just couldn't. Westgate anticipated everything. They said, hey, throw the ball. You know, they put everybody up front and just dared Nish to throw the ball. I think he was one of six.
And Westgate has the guys. This is one of the things about the wing tee. If you can load up the box and play man and get away with it, and get away with playing straight man, it's tough towing, man. You got to do. There's some things on offense you can do, but you got to be prepared to rub some routes and do some different things and take advantage, run some guys off. I, as a young wing tee coach, learned I had a whole package set up when people did that, and that was one of the things that helped me over the years, having a guy like Peter LeBlanc.
Mm-hmm.
Stretch the field.
And not just putting him at wide out. I'd put him at wing. It's a lot harder to cover a wing back man-to-man than, you know, a back man-to-man than it is a wide out.
Well, you want to also get him maybe on a linebacker on him.
Yeah. Well, you know, you fake run, and so, but, you know, can you throw it? How well can you throw it? You know, hopefully Nish gets things back on track. Westgate looks like they're off to a great start. Lost to LCA, but hey, LCA beat Acadiana.
That's right.
14-13. Now, Acadiana's another team. I got a couple of buddies that coach over there that formerly work for me. They're not good on offense. Acadiana
is really down this year.
They're really struggling on offense.
Wow, with that Bureau offense, that's surprising.
Jenneret gets hammered by Grand Lake. CC Paul attributed it more to his offense. Said that the defense didn't play as bad, but the offense just couldn't get anything going. And Delcom, big winner. Delcom sets up. I don't know when the last time Delcom's beat Catholic High. They haven't always played each other. Delcom was single A for so long. Big game with Catholic High this week, especially if Reno looks like he'll be out at least a week.
And it's a Thursday night game, too, here on Kane Radio.
Okay. So we'll be there, and we'll be listening to that one. So it's at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and thank our wonderful sponsors, Mako Restoration, Babineau Family Dental, Harris Heating and Cooling, Action Specialties, LA Classic Roofing, Schwing Insurance, Cane Row Golf and Turf Club, Hike Minnville, Grubbs and Dalbor, Iberia Sports and Rehab, Arsenal Ford, The Quarter Tavern, United Fire Safety, Gator Outdoors, Gritic Electric. Give them a call at 944-4547. That's a wrap. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to KANE 1240 AM and K298 CQ 107.5 FM, New Iberia.
The voice of the Tesh.